Welcome to this, the 100th episode special of Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. The purpose of this episode is to commemorate the 100th regular episode of this podcast, which aired yesterday, June 3rd, 2019. The comedy show that we are going to listen to today is an episode of the Screen Guild Theater, which originally aired on February 11th, 1946. I chose it for this special because it stars an old friend of ours, William Bendix, who plays Chester A. Riley in The Life of Riley, which we have on our podcast every Friday. After the show, I'll provide a bit of commentary, but right now, let's listen to William Bendix and Phil Silvers in the Screen Guild Theater's production of Don Juan Quilligan.
Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild Players. Lady Astor Screen Guild play tonight, Don Juan Quilligan. The starring players...
This is William Bendix.
This is Phil Silvers.
Tonight, Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild players in the 20th Century Fox picture, Don Juan Quilligan, a rollicking comedy starring Phil Silvers as Mac and William Bendix as Quilligan. The Lady Astor Screen Guild players in Don Juan Quilligan. Our hero is captain and owner of his ship, the Mary Quilligan, named for his dear departed mother. And while the Mary Q is just a lowly barge, and while it only braves the Hudson River, Quilligan is every other inch a sailor. He has, in fact, at the present moment, and for reasons entirely plausible, got himself engaged to two different girls, to Margie Mossrock, who lives in Brooklyn.
Ah, the way she laughs, the way she sings, just like my sainted mother in heaven.
And to Lucy Blake in Utica.
Ah, the way she cooks, the way she bakes, just like my sainted mother in heaven.
And so Quilligan swings between two ports until he's brought up short by Mac Denny, his mate and pal.
Don't you see what you're doing, Cap? You can't be engaged to two girls at once.
Yeah, I know I can't, Mac. But I am.
He says. He am. You can't go around having a million girls. Who do you think you are, Don Juan? Or Casablanca? Where's your conscience?
You know, that's what I keep asking myself. Where's my conscience? But I don't get no answer. Maybe that's on account of I've done nobody no harm.
No harm, he says. No. That's what he says, no harm.
Well, I didn't. I left Lucy and Utica all wrapped up in smiles. Just now I come from Margie, who was laughing and singing like a bird.
Yeah, but what about that poor soul over there?
Where is there another one?
I mean, in that there picture, Cap.
Oh, that. Kind of pretty, ain't it? Her hand resting on my head like that, and the other one on the fishbowl.
Yeah, beautiful. Which is the fishbowl?
Can't you see what it says? I had the printing put on afterward.
Mary Quilligan and her son, Patrick Michael Quilligan.
Yeah, that's what gave me the idea, the Patrick and the Michael. Up there in Utica, I'm Michael Quilligan, and here in Brooklyn, I'm Pat. It ain't exactly as if I was lying. Is it, Mac?
Cap, it ain't what I think. It's her, your sainted mother, rest her soul.
Amen.
Sitting up there worrying over the miserable son she bore.
But I ain't miserable, Mac. Why, if you traveled the whole wide world and back, you wouldn't find no happier couple than me and Margie and Lucy.
I give up. Look, I told my girl I'd take her out dancing. You go get Margie and bring her along.
Okay. I wish Margie and Beatty would get back here, Mac. Why must they take so long? I like to dance.
That's why they take so long.
You think I dance like a... Holy smoke!
What's the matter?
Look, over there. Mrs. Blake, Lucy's mother.
Michael!
Oh, and she saw me. Mac, she's coming over.
Well, well, Michael. My first night in from Utica. Well, is that all you can say? Michael.
It's that last drink, ma'am. You shouldn't have oughta took it.
What? Are you trying to insinuate that I'm intoxicated?
I ain't insinuating nothing, but I smell golden wedding, and I don't hear no bells.
Well, here we are, boys. All patched up for another round.
Oh, quick, Margie, come on, let's dance.
But, Pat, the orchestra isn't playing. We can't dance without music.
Well, we'll have music. My shoes squeak. Come on.
Hey, Mac, what's the matter with him?
I can give you the answer, miss. Mr. Quilligan, you're afraid I'll tell Lucy, aren't you?
Hey, you hear that? She knows his name.
Petey, shut up.
What I want to know is, who is Lucy?
Well, Margie, you see, Lucy is...
Who is Lucy, she says. Who is Lucy? That's what we'd all like to know, won't we, Captain?
Yeah, who's Lucy?
You know all right. Lucy is my daughter, the girl you're engaged to.
Engaged?
Engaged to be married.
Excuse me, ma'am, but the gentleman here is engaged to the lady here, if you don't mind. Now, scat.
Yeah, go on, scat, disappear. Go ahead. Pull up your anchor, point your bow toward the door, and let's see your stern.
Just a moment. Do you deny you're Michael Quilligan?
Well, in a way, I...
How do you like that, Cap? It's happened again.
What's happened, Mac?
Every time Patrick here steps out, sure enough, there's always somebody who takes him for his brother. It binds you.
Oh, Pat, dear, you never told me about a brother.
Oh, I never thought it was important. He's only a brother by birth.
Yeah. That's right. They're twins, both boys. And as alike as two ends of a dumbbell.
Yeah, that's right. We're alike. Yeah. Just like two peas on a knife. Yeah.
Nah. But only in looks. Otherwise, that Mike is a no good R.A.T.
Rat.
You see? The captain wouldn't say that if it wasn't a fact.
No.
If you think you can make me believe
now,
that,
look,
you're...
lady, I feel sorry for your Nancy or your Lucy or whatever her name is. But if you've got no objections, we're wasting time.
Yeah, we'd like to resume from where we left off from.
Beatty, that's my sentiments exactly. Patrick, darling, shall we dance?
Yeah, let's trip the light sarcastic. Twins. You had to open your big mouth and make me twins.
My big mouth, he says. I saved your life. If Margie's brother ever got wise, you wouldn't be here now. And besides, it worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
You seen for yourself how Margie went for it.
Yeah, but Lucy ain't gonna go for it. Not with her mother giving me the needle.
How do you think I brought you here? To this picture guy. Well, you see what he's done with that picture.
Here you are, gents. Just like you wanted it.
It's terrific. Hey, Cap, give a look.
Hey, I must be seeing double.
No, it's just that picture of you and your mother. He fixed it up like I told him to. And there's your mother and the two of you.
I fixed the lettering, too. See here? Mary Quilligan and her sons, Patrick and Michael Quilligan.
Yeah, but where's that fishbowl, the one Mom used to have her hand on?
Don't you get it? It's out. He put you in there.
No, it won't work, Mac. I'm going to tell Lucy the truth, even if it means goodbye forever to her wonderful cooking.
And we got to eat your grub again? Oh, wait, you wouldn't do a thing like that to me. It ain't human. Besides, I'm tired of eating tums for dessert.
Gosh, I don't know what I should do.
Look, why should you do anything right now? Why not go back first, have a couple of meals, sort of see what happens?
Well, maybe you're right, Mac. Maybe I will. I'll go back to Utica and just kind of wait for something to happen.
Oh,
Yes? Oh, you must be Mr. Quilligan. Come here. I'm Dr. Spence.
Doctor?
It's Mrs. Blake. She's had a bad shock. She ran into your twin brother in Brooklyn. You do have a twin brother.
Oh, me? Sure. I got the evidence right here. See? This picture. That's him. He's a R-U-T. Rat.
Please, not so loud. Mrs. Blake is very low. The minister is in there with her now.
Minister? You mean she...
Shh! Come along. Lucy will be glad to see you.
Yeah.
Michael.
Hello, Mom.
Gee, Lucy, I didn't even know she was sick.
She's been waiting for you, Michael, dear. I want to say goodbye. It looks like the end.
Oh, no, no. Why, you'll be dancing at my wedding. So to speak.
Michael.
Hmm?
Bend down, please.
Oh, sure.
You really love Lucy, don't you, Michael?
Oh, you bet. She's the best cook I ever saw. I love her with all my stomach. I mean my heart.
A pen. Quick.
Reverend, I guess she wants to write her will. She's asking for a pen.
Here you are, Mrs. Blake.
Michael, this paper. Sign it, son.
Oh, sure. Anything to oblige you. This is a wedding license.
Before I go, I'd like to see you and Lucy married. You want to marry Lucy, don't you?
Yes. But you see, I ain't got much money.
That doesn't matter. Does it, Reverend?
Indeed, no. Money. Money is dross. What is money?
What is dross?
Oh, Mother, I can't stand it. I just can't, that's all.
No, Lucy, wait, don't go. I'm signing it. Here, I'll sign it, Lucy. Yeah, there you are, Reverend. I better go to Lucy.
You'll be back, my boy.
Oh, sure, I'll be back. What do you think? Lucy, darling, don't cry. Dry those tears.
Where's your handkerchief?
I don't know. Here, use this blotter. Now, stop crying. I signed it with my own personal signature.
You didn't have to.
Oh, but it's her last wish. She might go any minute.
No, Mike. She's not sick. Huh? And that doctor's a fake. He's really Mother's dentist.
A dentist? But your mother's sinking fast. You better tell him to put in only temporary fillings.
Oh, don't you realize? You're being tricked.
And that minister, is he a fake too?
No, he's real enough. Oh, I didn't want to do it, Mike. And it's not too late. You can refuse.
After I give a real minister my word? No, ma'am. Lucy, I'm going through with this. Glad to do it, in fact. Only one thing.
What?
Well, being this is our wedding and all, and tonight we'll be on our honeymoon. Will you?
What, Michael?
Will you fix me some of that there Irish stew?
Don't go in there, Cap. I'm begging you. Don't ring that doorbell.
I gotta ring it, Mac. I gotta tell Marge.
But her brother Artie, the cop. You're mighty, you, Captain.
I can handle that moron. I'm his mental equal any day. Besides, it's only fair she should know she's engaged to be married to a married man.
Not me. I don't want any part of this. You're on your own.
Well, I'll handle this, all right. Don't you worry about me.
Oh, Ted, darling, we've been waiting for you. Come in. I got the grandest surprise.
Me too, Margie. What are all these people doing here? Why are you putting on that veil?
Poor Pat. You didn't expect a wedding, did you?
You mean you're going to get married? Oh, congratulations. I hope you'll both be very happy.
Well, well. So, the blushing bridegroom's here at last.
Yeah, Artie, where is he? I'd like to meet him. I want to... wait a minute. You mean me? I'm getting married?
Oh, it's just a rehearsal, Pat, my boy. No harm in
rehearsal?
That. Sure, just for practice.
But I don't need no practice.
Why not? You've been married lately?
Who, me? Come on, let's practice. But, Mac, they told me we was only practicing. Then suddenly the judge kisses Margie, Margie kisses me, and I'm kissing Artie. Believe it or not, I'm married.
You know you broke the law, Cap, and they don't like it. You committed, I think they call it bigamy.
I did not. The worst I've done, I married two girls.
But look, this is America, a very backward country. You're only supposed to marry one at a time.
Gee, can I go to jail for what I've done?
Well, you get a choice. You can either go or they'll drag you.
But if I tell the truth, they'll both feel awful bad. No, Mac. I couldn't hurt neither one of them. It wouldn't be fair to them.
Fair, he said. Fair. Will it be fair to your children? Half of them will be strangers to the other half. So what are you going to do?
Well, I guess I'll just have to stay married to them both. Believe me, women is the root of all evil.
Yep. And right now you could use a little less roots.
Well, maybe after a while I'll try to... Hey, what's the matter with the radio?
Attention, please. Attention.
Hey, something's up.
Just a few minutes ago, Japanese planes made an unprovoked surprise attack on U.S. naval installations at Pearl Harbor. No official word from Washington as yet, but unquestionably, ladies and gentlemen, unquestionably, this means war. We'll be back shortly with details. But meanwhile...
Mac, we've been stabbed in the heart.
Yeah, while our back was turned.
He said it's going to be war. Maybe I ought to enlist in the Navy.
Take it easy, Cap. You got your own war. Why, between them two dames, you got all... Wait a minute. You're right. You're absolutely right. Join up. It's an out.
That's what I say. I gotta be brave.
Brave? See, any guy that runs away from the trouble you're in to join the Navy is a coward.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Remember the old fairy story of the magic mirror? Well, how would you like to look in your mirror and see a real change take place? An exciting change in your entire appearance, almost like magic. Thousands of women have had this interesting experience, and you can too, by making the patch test. The patch test is my way of proving to you in 30 seconds that Lady Esther face cream is the most beautifying face cream you've ever used. That this one cream by itself does the four most important things your skin needs. To make the patch test, just smooth Lady Esther face cream on one patch of skin, like one cheek. Wipe it off. Then compare that cheek with the rest of your face. See the clean, flower-like freshness. Touch it with your fingertips. Feel that new, silky smoothness. Now, I promise no miracles, but what the patch test shows you in 30 seconds will win you over to Lady Esther face cream for life. The instant improvement in the tone and texture of your skin, improvement you can see and feel, makes it almost seem like a miracle. You see, Lady Esther face cream does all these four things. It thoroughly cleans your skin, softens it, helps nature refine the pores, and it leaves a smooth, perfect base for powder. And remember, the patch test proves all this in 30 seconds. The patch test proves every single claim I make for Lady Esther face cream.
And now the second act of Don Juan Quilligan, starring Phil Silvers and William Bendix. Well, Don Juan Quilligan has found a way out. He's joined the Navy. And as he and Mac return to the barge, he's a happy guy. Until he finds a postcard in the mailbox that says simply...
Greetings. Somebody must think it's my birthday. Maybe some of my family.
Yeah, your Uncle Sam. All that car says, you've been drafted.
Oh.
No use smoking like that, Cap. A man with his whole future ahead of him shouldn't want to worry so much.
You mean me?
Who's with us? Look, you committed bigamy, and that means a stack of years in a clean cola, right?
Right.
Now, if you don't report to the Army, being you're already in the Navy, it's another stack of years in a guardhouse, right?
Right.
Now, but if you report to the Army and jump ship on the Navy, they'll give you a stack of years in a brig. So, with all them stack of years in the clink and in the guardhouse and in the brig, you'll be getting your discharge and your Social Security at the same time. Yep, your whole future's took care of, all right.
Yeah, my whole life. I guess I'll go in and lie down in my bunk. I'm dizzy.
That's an understatement. You go ahead. I'll fix some coffee.
Everything has to happen to me. There I was, trying to get along. Trying to...
What's the idea? Look what you made me... Hey, what
gives? Look. Body.
Take it easy, Cop. What are you staring at?
This guy's been murdered.
Let me see... Maida, there's only the half of it. They must have used this kisser for a target. And somebody's been carving their initials on his chest.
Stop it. I didn't do it, Mac. I got an alibi. They're not my initials.
Hey, wait a minute. Look at this. The tips of his fingers is all rubbed away.
Mac, we gotta ditch him. We gotta. Come on, give me a hand.
Overboard?
Yeah. Grab his other end. Ready?
Uh-huh.
All right, go.
I'm sorry. He slipped. The heel came off his shoe.
Well, come on, come on. Pick him up.
Wait a minute. Grab a gander at this.
Look
what was in his heel.
Pearls. Holy smoke, a human oyster.
A whole string of pearls. You know what? This guy must have been a gangster. And they killed him and dumped him here for holding out. He's a double crosser.
Well, double crosser, a single crosser, over he goes.
Now, hold it, Cap. Not so fast. I got a hunch your troubles are over.
They are?
Sure. All you got to do is commit suicide.
Well, that's okay with me if you think of God. Boy, you want me to commit? I thought you were my bosom friend. Well, you ain't. You're a false bosom friend.
Ah, wait a minute. Don't be a dope. We just dressed this guy in one of your suits, make out like he's you, and psst, overboard. What do you say?
Nothing doing.
Now, wait a minute. They'll never be able to tell who it is. He's got no face and no finger marks neither. And then, with one of you twins out of the way, you're only hitched to one wife, and you don't have to report to the Army and the Navy. Cap, you couldn't find a better setup if you cut your own throat.
Well, perhaps maybe you're right.
Now, all we got to do is write a suicide note. Tell her by the time she gets it, you're going to be drowned.
Tell who? I couldn't do that to Margie. Not to Lucy either.
All right, flip a coin. Heads, it's Margie who's the widow Quilligan. Tails, it's Lucy who wears the weeds. How's that?
Heads, it's Margie. Tails, it's Lucy.
Go ahead, toss. What does it say?
Poor, poor Lucy. So soon married and now a widow. That's what keeps bothering me, Mac. If they ever find out I'm a living corpse, there I'll be again with two wives.
That ain't so bad, but two uniforms. That's tough.
Yeah, but...
Hello in there. Anybody on board? Open up. The law.
It's the law, the law. I told you, Mac.
Shut up. I'll handle it. Come in, folks. I was just gonna...
That's one of them, Inspector. He was at the restaurant that night.
Now, wait a minute. You can't blame Mac.
And there's the other. There's your man, Inspector. He's the one who did it.
Madam, you're making a very serious charge.
Well, they're both here on Michael's barge, aren't they? And poor Michael is dead.
And you ought to go right back to that hole before the squirrels find you missing. Why, me and Captain Pat here,
No, it's no use, Mac. I told you I'd never get away with it.
You hear that, Inspector? The brute.
Now, look here, ma'am. There's no need for you
to... Patrick Quilligan.
Yes, sir.
In the name of the law, I arrest you. For murder.
For what?
Murder, he says. Murder!
Prosecuting attorney will please continue.
Now then, the witness has told us he is a longtime friend of the defendant. May I ask him, what is his relationship to the accused?
Oh, we ain't related. You see, his family...
I mean, do you feel friendly or otherwise?
Well, I'd say we were more than just friends. Why, his mom, rest her soul...
Amen.
Yeah. Why, she brung us up just like brothers.
Oh, so now you're his brother.
Yeah. Who said that? What are you trying to put words in my mouth? Hey, Cap, get a load of this creep.
Order! The prosecution will continue.
Then you're not the defendant's brother.
No, sir. I'm just the captain's pal.
And would you go out of your way to help him?
I'll say. Hey, what kind of a pal?
In other words, you'd do anything to help him.
I sure would. Anything at all.
You'd even lie for him.
I certainly would and did many times, too.
Your Honor, I move that this man be held as an accomplice to the murder of Michael Quilligan.
What?
Order! Order! I demand order! The witness will please tell the court her name.
Miss Beattie LaRue. That's what everyone calls me.
And you've known the defendants how long?
About 3 years, going on 4.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen them together very often?
Are you kidding? Hey, Mac, he's asking me if I've seen you.
The witness will confine her attention to the prosecutor. Proceed, please.
Thank you. Miss LaRue, did you ever see these men together away from the barge?
Well, that night we was dancing. That was when this old battle axe come up to Captain Pat and claimed she's personally acquainted.
And what did Quilligan say?
All he said was nothing. But Mac, he says, pardon me, lady, but you are mistaking him for a similar party, which happens to be his twin brother, Michael.
Thus acknowledging his existence, Your Honor, I rest.
Honest, Your Honor, you gotta believe me. That's why I asked to talk like this. The whole thing is a frame-up, just like I told you. When they dumped that dead crook on my boy...
Your Honor, we've been through all that. The story's utterly fantastic.
Then where would I get a string of pearls like them? They must be worth $500-$600.
Oh, a likely story. Your Honor, if these pearls are worth anything, wouldn't the owner have claimed them long ago? The initials are right here on the clasp. M.H., very plain.
M.H.? Your Honor, please.
Who wishes to address the court?
Me, sir. Police Officer Artie Mossrock, Precinct 52. Your Honor, may I see them pearls?
The prosecutor will turn them over.
Sure. It's them, all right. The Mary Harmon pearls. They were stolen by One-Eyed Fagan's mob. Well, we picked him up and grilled him last week, and all he would say was he was double-crossed.
There, Your Honor, you see? Just like I said, Fagan must have bumped that guy off. Oh, Artie, I could kiss you. You just saved my life.
Yeah? Wait till I get you alone. You wish I hadn't.
Well, it's all over but the shouting, Cap. You sure got off easy.
You call that easy? That tongue lashing I got from the judge?
Well, it would have been worse if he hadn't decided both their marriages were illegal. Now you're in the Navy and all you got to do is pack up and go.
Yeah, but... Well, I'd like to talk to Margie first.
What?
Well, you know, sort of apologize. I figure I can see Lucy on my furlough.
Ain't you never going to learn nothing, Cap? Nothing? You're heading right back from where you started from. Now listen, Cap, take my advice.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sirree, Mac. I've been taking your advice. And I've been in trouble ever since. For a change, I'm going to do something concrete. I'm going to use my own head.
But, Cap...
I'm just going to listen to my conscience. And my conscience tells me that if a man is decent and honorable and law-abiding, he's got to be polite to his wife. The wives.
Well, here we go. Don Juan Quilligan rides again.
Thank you, William Bendix and Phil Silvers, for your delightful performances in tonight's play. The Lady Esther Screen Guild players are grateful indeed for your appearance here, because, as you know, the benefits from these programs go to support the fine work of the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house. And now, before we tell you about next week's program, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
If you have ever wondered what shade of face powder to choose, what shade is best for your coloring, you'll be delighted to know about Lady Esther Bridal Pink. For here's a shade that ends all guesswork, a new kind of powder shade, subtle and elusive in its effect upon the skin. A shade that is intensely flattering to almost every skin it touches. It doesn't matter whether your hair is blonde, brown, auburn, or black. You'll find that Lady Esther Bridal Pink does instant, radiant things for your entire appearance. It not only gives life and tone to your skin, it reflects new highlights of beauty in your hair, gives new sparkle to your eyes. And women tell me they love the way Lady Esther face powder clings, hour after hour, the way it stays fresh and lovely, always as though just applied. It's so finely pulverized, it spreads like a delicate, clinging film on your skin, completely covering tiny lines and blemishes. It makes the texture of your skin look smoother, yes, and younger. If you want to see a truly dramatic difference in your appearance, try this. First apply Lady Esther Face Cream. Wipe it off. Then pat on Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. You'll gaze spellbound in your mirror, delighted with the fresh new look of your face. Remember, Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream, Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present Over 21. It will star Alexander Knox, Raymond Walburn, and Irene Dunn. Be sure to listen. Don Juan Quilligan was presented through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. William Bendix appeared through the courtesy of Teal. sponsor of his own program, The Life of Riley, and will soon be seen in the Paramount picture, The Blue Dahlia. Bill Silvers appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the Technicolor production, The Dolly Sisters. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Screen Guild Theater was a radio anthology series broadcast from 1939 until 1952. In this anthology series, leading Hollywood stars performed adaptations of popular motion pictures. Pay that would normally go to these stars was instead donated to the Motion Picture Relief Fund, as you heard mentioned during this episode. Lady Esther Cosmetics was the sponsor of this episode and was the sponsor of the program from 1942 to 1947. Nearly every major Hollywood star appeared on the Screen Guild Theater. Ingrid Bergman, Humphrey Bogart, Eddie Cantor, Gary Cooper, Bing Crosby, Betty Davis, Jimmy Durante, Clark Gable, Judy Garland, Gene Kelly, Gregory Peck, Fred Astaire, Frank Sinatra, and Shirley Temple. And that's just to name a few. I hope you have enjoyed this, our special 100th podcast episode. Hope to see you Wednesday for the next episode of Bob Hope on the Pepsodent Show. Until then, see you in the funny papers.